Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Of stewardship. This is a huge topic in Scripture, and you may see it as stewardship or stewards or stewarding. But this theme runs throughout the entire Bible, and God expects us to be good stewards. And when we are, there are powerful promises and rewards attached to that. So I want to talk to you a little bit more about stewardship, managing kingdom resources. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, the most reoccurring theme was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. As believers, we have access to the kingdom, but many Christians don't understand how it works. A kingdom is different from a democratic republic, which is what we have in America. Some people think it's a democracy. It's actually technically a democratic republic. But a kingdom is different. A kingdom has a king. Amen? We know that the king, our king, is Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you cannot have a kingdom without a king. You cannot be in the kingdom without submitting to the king. And you cannot be in a kingdom without submitting to the culture that the king has established. Take a second to think about that for a second. You cannot be a part of a kingdom without submitting to the culture that the king has established. Now, let's talk about how this kingdom works. The king, in a kingdom, the king owns all the land. For those that have studied the feudalistic period, you understand how that works. A king owns the land. He gives land grants to the lord, the nobles. The nobles give land grants to the lords, to the knights, to the tenants. So nobody truly owns land in a kingdom except for the king. And then he distributes the land as he sees fit. Scripture tells us this about God, and I want to help make this parallel. Psalm 24:1, David says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And we start to put on a kingdom mindset. We understand this from this frame of thought, Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." This is going to set some people free today. This is going to empower some people today when you can start to grab a hold of the kingdom mindset. And here's the thought process. If we can start to think about it this way, everything that you can see, feel, touch belongs to God. He is the owner of everything. Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So here is the mental leap we have to make from our culture that's so steeped in, you know, I own this, this is mine, this, that's not yours, this is mine. We have this culture that is in the natural to understand, okay, got to make a mental leap to understand spiritually the culture of his kingdom. The world says, this is my stuff, my money, my resources, mine, right? A child is not far out of the womb before they learn one of their first words. Mine. The kingdom, though, says it's all about him. It all belongs to him. Scripture says the whole earth is the Lord's. Everybody that is in the earth belongs to him. So we have the privilege, though, if we can wrap our heads around this kingdom concept, we are given the privilege to steward the resources of the kingdom. Can I say that again? If we can have a kingdom mindset,
that's right,
we can be granted the privilege to manage kingdom resources, to steward kingdom resources. When we cling on to what we have, we cannot be entrusted with what he has. Can I say it again? When we're clinging on so tightly to what little we have, we cannot participate in the vastness of what he has. So when we release what we have to God, he can trust us with much, much more. How many believe that? Amen? Many people spend so much time amassing things. And this is what Jesus said in Mark 8:36. He said, "What good is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul?" Some people get so preoccupied with what they can grab a hold of, what they can amass, that they lose something so much greater, which is access to the kingdom, which is the privilege of being a part of the kingdom, which is the privilege of being a part of his eternal kingdom. Many people are quick to spend money on things before they think about investing in the kingdom. Right. Amen? Oh, that's a tough one right there. We'll spend a lot of money on things. We'll go to the movies, right? We'll go and we'll buy this for ourselves or buy that for ourselves before we consider, is there something worth investing in the kingdom? And Jesus says this to us in Matthew 6:19-20. Do not, look at somebody and say, do not. Do not. There you go. Now you can listen to the rest. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven. So no matter how you look at this scripture, even if you are amassing something, it's saying that the majority of your treasure, you should be storing in heaven. The majority, if I'm thinking about my asset allocation in my portfolio, the greatest amount of my portfolio should be treasures in heaven. There's a benefit to saving. There's a benefit to investing in the natural, but there are much greater benefits and significance to be had by investing in the kingdom. Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom first, all the other things you need will be added. Does anybody believe the scripture today? Does anybody believe the scripture? So we got to wrap our head around this. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. For context, Jesus was talking about the things that we need. Food, shelter, whatever material things that we need to be able to survive. Look at somebody and say, all these things will be added to you. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So the principle is this: seek the kingdom first, and he will add everything you need. Seek the kingdom first, and he will add everything you need. So many people pursue wealth the wrong way, seeking money or career first. Jesus said, I can add these things to you if you'll seek first the kingdom. God didn't say you can't have it. He said, if you'll seek the kingdom first, I will add the things to you. That's the problem a lot of times with our culture. We're trying to add things. And so we put the kingdom last. We're working so hard to add the things ourselves. And then we only have a little bit left over of our time, of our energy, of our resources to pursue the kingdom. But if we seek the kingdom first, he will add everything you need. Jesus said, I can add the things if you seek the kingdom first. So we settle in our minds. We have to settle in our minds. What's first? What's going to be first? Jesus said, there's two ways to approach meeting your needs. Look at somebody, say two ways. Two ways to approach meeting your needs, providing for yourself. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. So he says, look, you can only serve one or two of these things. Do you want to know what Jesus was talking about? You can only serve one or two of these things. Watch this. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot pursue both of these things equally. And what is he talking about? You cannot serve both God and money. And this is an interesting thing. In many translations, it uses the word mammon, which mammon is bigger than money. It's money, it's wealth, it's material possessions. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and mammon. That conceptually. So we have to decide what comes first in our life. God's kingdom or money. God or mammon is what Jesus said. So mammon is an interesting word here. And Jesus was saying here that the love or even worship of mammon is seductive. This is what Jesus wanted us to see. One form of it was the Ashtoreth. We were talking about this with the men on Wednesday on Zoom. And sometimes in the Bible it calls it worshiping the Queen of Heaven or having Ashtoreth poles, where the ancient Israelites were continually falling back into the worship of this so-called God of abundance. So I know you could look at the Bible and say, why do they keep on worshiping and having these Ashtoreth poles, having these altars to Baal? It's because of the allure that there is another way to get money. There's another way to get resources. There's another way to get wealth. And God was saying, I want you to seek me. Put me first. Seek my kingdom first. I'll add everything that you need. But Israel kept on falling back into this place where they were seeking out mammon. They were seeking out Ashtoreth. They were seeking out the Queen of Heaven. And this prevailing thing on their mind in the ancient world was money, wealth, possessions. Money, wealth, possessions. Do you know what we still struggle with today as a stumbling block? There's nothing new under the sun is what Solomon said. Money, wealth, possessions. Still a stumbling block. Many people focus too much on money, wealth, and possessions. We have to learn in a very practical way to put God first. That is the discipline. That's what the discipline of the tithe is all about. That's saying, look, I'm going to build a discipline of tithe into my life. So every week, or however much you get paid, every week I'm going to set this aside to show that God is first. I'm showing God is first by, yes, I'm praying every day. Yeah, I'm getting in His Word every day. But also I'm doing it with my resources. I'm doing it with my finances. I'm putting God first. We have to learn to put the kingdom of God first, and then we tap into His supply. Now, this is what God wants. God wants you to tithe not because He wants something from you, but because He wants to get something to you. He's saying, if you'll strike covenant with me through tithe, I want to give you kingdom access and allow you to be a steward. If you'll say, God, I'm willing to give you everything, God says, I'm willing to let you steward infinite supply. Right. And this is huge. God has infinite supply. I want you to close your eyes for a second and think that you could open up the Amazon app and you could order anything you want and not have to pay for it. If Jeff Bezos said, I'm going to let you be a steward of all the Amazon assets, and you can open that app and you can push those buttons and you can send whatever you want to your house. God has given us an infinitely greater opportunity. He said, if you will give me what you have, and that's what a tithe is. A tithe is significant of, I'm giving you everything, God. God literally said this, if you'll give me 10%, I'll count it as everything. Right. If you go back and study what the tithe actually means, it means, God, I'm giving you everything. And when we understand, if I can give up my measly concept of ownership, I can become a kingdom steward. I can become an ambassador of His kingdom. So it's powerful. It's not about what God wants from you. It's about what God wants to get to you. Look at somebody and say that. It's not about what God wants to get from you. It's about what God wants to get to you. It's about how God wants to empower you. I was reading this book, and it was talking about this prevailing thought that we oftentimes have within the church that we serve a poor God. A poor God has to constantly take up offerings and be supported by His people. Whereas a rich, abundant God is looking for opportunities to bless his children at every occasion. And so even the request or the command to tithe, even the command to give offerings is an opportunity for him to bless us and allow us to tap into his unlimited supply. Look at somebody and say, I do not serve a poor God. I serve a rich God. How many know that the streets are paved in heaven with gold? That's how that describes it. Not just any God, gold. Like gold that's so pure, it said it's translucent. Gates that are made out of one solid pearl. I don't know if you can imagine that. Pearl earrings just themselves are pretty. But to show the magnitude of God's provisions, this is what he wants us to see. God wants to get you on his kingdom operating system. One where you steward his infinite supply. But you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to confuse this whole process just like he did in the beginning. He confused the words of God. He twisted things around and confused man. Adam and Eve were confused by the things that were said. The devil wants to enslave you to something that's going to make you lose. Do you know that when we do finances the way the world does, and a lot of people don't understand this, we oftentimes get enslaved to a financial system we don't fully understand. Many people don't understand how the financial system works, but it enslaves. It enslaves. If we focus on mammon first, money, wealth, material possessions, we'll never have enough. I want to show you this. Even the people that they looks like they have enough, they don't have enough. Just stay with me for a second. I want to show you this. When we focus on the kingdom of God, we have more than enough. When we operate with a mammon first mentality, we become enslaved to the world's financial construct and we end up in debt. Or we end up having money but no peace. Or we end up having nice things but a broken family. How many know there's more ways to lose than with money? How many know there's no money in the world that could repair Jeff Bezos' marriage? There's no money in the world that could repair Bill Gates' marriage. So even though it looks like their cup is full to overflowing, there's always something missing. There's always something lacking because guess what? The devil is a trickster. He give you one thing and then trick you on the back end. For this one, they're hurting for money. For this one, they're hurting. Their family's broken. Their marriage is toxic. It's falling apart. So when we seek mammon first mentality, we will never have enough. Kingdom first mentality, we will have more than enough. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Only Jesus can set you free. And only the kingdom can make you truly prosper. Can I say it again? Only Jesus can set you free, and only the kingdom can make you truly prosper. This is what God already told us in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So every time you see in the Bible something requiring your time or your money, understand on the back end of that is good plans. Good plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. If you can just extend faith to say, okay, whenever I'm tithing or whether I'm giving an offering or whether I'm giving of my time serving in the church, I understand that what God is going to give me back is infinitely better than what I'm giving him.
Right.
God loves you so much that when you seek his kingdom first, his promises start becoming a reality. And here's another kingdom promise I love, Deuteronomy 28, 12 through 14. No, these are to the people that are following the commands of God. He promises this: the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the works of your hands. How many people would like God to bless all the works of your hands? You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. How many would like to be the person that is able to step in and be benevolent and generous instead of the person asking for a handout? The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God, what's the prerequisite? If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you this day and carefully, somebody say carefully, carefully follow them, then you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands. Can you say that with me? Do not turn away from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods. What's one of those gods? Mammon. Don't turn aside following other gods and serving them. So if we operate by the kingdom, kingdom blessings will start to flow through our lives. If we operate by the kingdom, kingdom blessings will start to flow through our lives. Can I say it again? If we operate by the kingdom, kingdom blessings will start to flow through our lives. So God does not want to take something from us. God wants to get something to us. He wants to get us to interact with his kingdom. The devil wants to convince people that the church is here to take their money. That's a lie that the devil has propagated. That's something that you hear a lot in popular culture. God wants to bless you, and the enemy knows that, so he starts lying. God wants to bless you. God wants to open up doors. He wants to show you principles that will help you be blessed and operate in his kingdom. The enemy knows that, so he confuses people about God's intentions. God wants to get you out of debt, so the enemy has no claim to the assets that God entrusts you with. Think about that. God wants you out of debt because he doesn't want the enemy to have any claim on the assets he entrusts you with.
Right.
All right, I want to go back to Matthew 24:14, because you said some great things last week, but I want to show something here. Jesus says this, and he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God again, and he says the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated, so it's like this. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like this. It's illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So first, Jesus said, this is how the kingdom of God works. Right here. Look at somebody and say, this is how it works. He gave them money. He gave them resources to manage, right? Each according to his ability. He gave them kingdom resources, each according to their ability. 5 to 1, 2 bags to another, 1 bag to the last. What happens next? The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. It's pretty smart. The master knew, give 5 to the one guy that can double it. The servant who had 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. He knew what he was doing. 5 bags to one, 2 bags to the other. Those guys knew what they were doing. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account. Look at somebody say, give an account. Meditate on that this week. He called them to give account of how they had used whose money? His money. The servant whom he had entrusted with the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. Now, two bags of silver might not seem like a small amount, but in the master's eyes, two bags of silver, five bags of silver was not a big amount. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. What happened? The master rewarded good stewardship. How does the kingdom work? The master rewards good stewardship. Can I say it again? How does the kingdom of God work? The master rewards good stewardship. Now remember, Jesus said this is how the kingdom of God works. The Father rewards that. And then this is what happens with the third servant. For those that know this, the story, this is not new to you. The master was full of praise, right? So the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops that you didn't plant, gathering crops where you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. And the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take this money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well, they are given, and even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. Somebody listen to that. This is about good stewardship. Those that use well what they're given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I didn't write this story, guys. Jesus did. It's a story of how the kingdom works. God rewards good stewardship. Look at somebody and say, God rewards good stewardship. Now, I'm going to let you use your imagination what happens to the person that has been given something and they do nothing. They've been given a gift. They've been given kingdom resources. They have finances that God has given them, but they don't do anything. What happens? Jesus equates laziness with wickedness. He says, You wicked and lazy servant. He didn't say, Oh, you were just a poor steward. You didn't steward well. He said, That's lazy. I gave you something. I gave you a gift. I gave you finances. And you didn't do anything with it. You didn't produce a return for the kingdom. It seems harsh to us at first glance, but Jesus is showing us a couple things, right? This is how the kingdom of God works. Everyone is given an opportunity. Can I say that? Everyone. Every single servant, all three servants were given an opportunity. So this is how it works. Everybody's given an opportunity, but the opportunities are different depending on their ability to steward. You know what? Sometimes you think you're waiting on God, but God is waiting for you to learn the lesson and become a better steward so he can trust you with more. God, why hasn't this happened? Why hasn't this door opened? Because you don't know how to steward the opportunity yet. Why hadn't this promotion happened yet? You don't know how to steward that promotion. Why hasn't my financial increase happened? Because you're not tithing yet. You take the money, you tithe, but a majority of it, you just keep it for yourself. You don't understand how kingdom redistribution. God wants to trust you. Everyone is given an opportunity. Greater opportunities are given to people who learn stewardship. The person who's lazy with their gifts or makes excuses doesn't make the cut. That's what the story tells me. Is that what the story tells you? Yeah. Everyone is given an opportunity. Opportunities are given to people who steward well. Bad stewardship is not allowed in the kingdom of God. So, wow, that seems kind of exciting, right? But also sobering. Man, I could do so much. God wants to entrust me with so much. But also God is expecting much. To whom much is given, much is required. It's exciting that with God, all these opportunities are possible. We have the honor of stewarding some of the infinite supply of God. But it's also sobering to know that we'll all give an account one day for how we steward the things that God entrusts us with. God wants to elevate you. God elevates faithful stewards. God, what's in your hand? The Bible says, whatever you find to do with your hand, do it with all your might. Don't sit on it. Don't dig a hole from it and hide it. Don't make an excuse about why you can't do it. Steward well. God takes servants and elevates them to a position of kingdom stewards. I want you to see this in the story. He took servants and made them kingdom stewards. No matter how you started, there is such opportunity and possibility within the kingdom of God. You say, man, I didn't start with much, or I don't have much today. If you will enter into his kingdom, do things his kingdom way, there are so many opportunities that God wants to make available. No matter where you started financially or otherwise, God can make you a kingdom wealth manager. But we have to lay down our way of doing things. We have to lay down the world's way of doing things. And we have to live the kingdom way. What's the kingdom way? If you'll lay down who you are and what you have, he will give you stewardship of so much more. Living by the world's systems will make you a servant to the world's systems. In the kingdom of God, you can be an ambassador. You can be a steward. You can be a noble. You can be a steward to an unlimited supply. We can either cling to what we think we have, or we can let go and become a kingdom citizen. There's so much more that God has in store. I don't know about you, but I would rather be steward over God's unlimited assets than attempt to manage whatever assets that I think I have. I'd rather be a steward over God's portfolio than a steward over my limited portfolio. No matter how good I think I can do, some days I think I can do pretty good, he can do better. No matter what I think I can amass, I think I'm pretty savvy, he can entrust me with much, much more. If I'll just trust him. God wants to elevate you to a place of kingdom stewardship, kingdom responsibility. But he can't trust you if the first thing that you do when you're blessed is use it on you. The general concept is this: I want to bless you to be a blessing. That's what he told Abraham. You're going to be blessed to be a blessing. I'm going to pour some blessings through your family to bless all the other families. If we have a selfish mentality, we won't be able to be good stewards. What can you do? Pursue his kingdom first. See yourself as a kingdom asset manager, not the sole owner of what you have, a kingdom asset manager. Stop letting the world's financial system control you. That's a trick of the enemy. Don't let the world's financial... Look, the world could be in economic decline. The U.S. could be in a tough season. The gas prices could be going up. Groceries could be going up. But guess what? You have a greater promise. You've been given promises in the Word of God that God will provide. One of the names of God is that he is Jehovah Jireh. The God that provides. You have a rich God, Father. He is a Father. that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. There's no recession in heaven, ever. And I mean ever. There is never a recession. There is never a depression in heaven. God wants to help us learn how to tap into his supply. God wants to bless you, but he's only going to do it his way. God wants to bless you, but he only does it the kingdom way. It's the king's command. It's the king's decree. It's the king's culture. It's the king's policy. But if we'll operate by the king's command, he wants to bless us. He's asking us to do it his way because he knows his way is better. He wants to take us back to infinite supply. I want you to think about this. The word Eden literally means paradise. God designed us to live in paradise. God designed us to live in ample supply. When he put the fish, he put them in their habitat, the perfect habitat, the sea. He put the birds in the air, the perfect habitat for them. Right? He put the land animals on the land, the perfect habitat for them. But when he created man in his image, he said, I have to create a place like heaven because that is the appropriate habitat for mankind. Before sin, there was ample supply, more than enough. God wants to get back to the place, us back to the place of more than enough. Do you believe that? God sent Jesus to fix what was broken in the earth, to restore that which was lost. And if we will trust in him, he wants to show us how the kingdom works. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing and challenging us, God, to have a kingdom mindset, a mindset of stewardship, God, because you want to entrust us with so much more. It's not just about us. It's about you. It's about your kingdom. It's about your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. God, you want to bless us to be a blessing. You want to entrust us with more because there's some people that we need to be a blessing to. So you're going to have to bless us. You're going to have to bless our families so that we can be a blessing to other families, so that we can be a blessing to other people. So God, teach us to have a stewardship mentality. Teach us to have a kingdom mentality, God. And God, I do believe and I proclaim over your people today, Jeremiah 29:11, that you have good plans for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, but give us a hope and a future. God, let us meditate on your word, God, day and night this week, that we can see in it how to be kingdom citizens. And God, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're there and you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be in my faith journey. I've been there before, or maybe I drifted away. I want to pray for you today. If that's you and you say, I've kind of drifted, but I want to reconnect with Jesus, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. 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 There's something about reconnecting in your faith journey. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've ever had what you're saying. I'm not sure if I've ever really connected with Jesus or allowed Jesus to take the lead in my life. I've been around religious things. I've been around religious people. But I want what you're talking about. I want to be a kingdom citizen. I want to live by what Jesus said. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand for either one of those, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody can agree with this, that agrees with this. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and giving me a new start. I'm sorry for the times I've drifted. I did things my way. Jesus, I want you to be the king of my life. I want to live by your commands. I want to do things your way. Teach me how to do that. Teach me how to prosper in God's sight. I want to live a life that pleases the Father. Teach me to do that. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.